Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And God caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. I want to preach for a few moments on the subject, one word, bones. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, do you have some skeletons in your closet? Now ask him, don't ask him. They're not going to tell you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This is quite an account in the Old Testament. When we preach Living Way Launch, or we teach Living Way Launch class to our new members and people wanting to join ministry and teams, we talk about the Word of God and we talk about the importance of the Word of God. And when I teach that first session each month, I always make sure that I talk about the importance of the Old Testament. That the New Testament, of course, the life of Christ and Messiah and the book of Acts and the new church and the local church, and I understand the significance of the New Testament, and there are prophecies, of course, that are fulfilled, but I love the Old Testament. Because when you rightly divide the word of truth and you see Jesus in the New Testament, reading the Old Testament is fun because you already have read the back of the book. And everything there is pointing towards Christ and His Holy Spirit. Can I encourage you? Everything in the Word of God should point you towards Christ and the Holy Ghost. When you read Genesis chapter 2, it should point you to Jesus and the Holy Ghost. When I read Joshua, when I read about Joseph in Genesis chapter 37, it points me towards Jesus Christ. And I love reading the Old Testament. So get in that Old Testament and unwrap those things and see the types and shadows that God would have you to read. But when I read Ezekiel chapter 37, it is such a prophetic book to the local church as we are now because of the type and the information that it contains, but also because of what it discusses in the text. Now, when we read this text, Ezekiel talks about God lifting him up and setting him down. The Bible says this in verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. Every time I've ever heard this preached, we kind of just gloss over that like that happens every day. We gloss over the fact that God's hand was upon Ezekiel. Number one thing you have to realize when you are a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ is God's hand is on you. I thought I'd get a better amen than that. Because when I leave this building, I don't need your hand on me. When I leave this building, I'm going to have some hands out there that are against me. But what gives me faith to live the life that God has put in front of me is the fact that I know that no matter what weapon is formed against me, that God's hand is on me. And as long as God's hand is on me, it also means that God's hand is under me. And if God's hand is under me, it also means it's on the side of me so that I don't get off and go around and get off course. And so when the Bible says and Ezekiel declares God's hand was upon me, it is a prophetic declaration to the church that when Jesus comes into this world, He's not only coming to save you, but for the rest of your life, He wants to be the Lord of your life. He wants to direct you. He wants to instruct you. He wants to guide you. He wants to do all of those things. And so this is what Ezekiel says. God's hand, the Lord's hand, was upon me. Then he goes on to say this. Number two, he says, in God's spirit was in me. The Lord's hand was on me. His spirit was in me. If you've noticed, Bishop and I together, collectively, not on purpose, but it is a Holy Ghost thing. God is leading us to speak and preach more on the power of the Holy Ghost. That it is more than an expression in a denominational church. That it's more than a Sunday in June. But Pentecostal comes back to the book of Acts. The book of Acts cannot be Acts without the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is what causes us to act. The Holy Ghost is what causes us. I thought I'd get a better amen right there. See, because when I leave this building and it's just Brandon without this praise team and without Bishop preaching masterpiece after masterpiece, and I walk out the same doors that you walk out of, I have to realize Brandon can't do anything on his own. But when I wake up, I look at my wife, I look at my kids, and I love them, but realize that they can't do anything for me. I say, God, as long as your hand is on me, as long as your spirit is in me, I always know I'll be where I need to be, I'll do what I need to do, and I'll become what you've called me to become. Turn to your neighbor and tell him God's hand is on me. Tell him God's spirit is in me. Let's go further. Here we go. Verse 2. And caused me to pass by them round about. Picks Ezekiel up and sets him down. It's amazing to me how things look different from the view of a plane than when you're in the middle of it. It's amazing to me coming into San Antonio how different San Antonio looks from 5,000 feet up than it looks when you're down on Cesar Chavez or you're down on Durango, because you're in the middle of it. So God says this, before I put you in it, I'm going to put you over it. When I put you over it, you're going to get a different perspective so that when you're in it, I can trust you to do what I've called you to do. I'm here to tell somebody today that when you allow the hand of God to lead you, when you allow the Spirit of God to reside in you and work from the inside out, God is not going to put you in anything that you can't handle. He never puts you in something that he has not put you over. Can I talk to somebody about authority and dominion for a minute? I'm never fearful of where God takes me because God has already put me over it. So by the time I get in it, I've already realized I'm over it. God's perspective is different from our perspective. You ever remember when your kids started toddling around, started walking, and they'd walk a little ways, and then they'd look back to you and go? Because if you think about it, a toddler's view is not a good view because they're eye level with a lot of things that are not pleasant. In a crowded elevator, not pleasant. At a crowded amusement park, not pleasant. After the Spurs game, walking through the parking lot, not pleasant. And so they look to their parents, they look to their father, and they say, give me a different perspective. God said, I'm going to give you a different perspective. You say, what is that? It's what we call vision. When somebody says, I received a heavenly vision, what they've said is I've seen what God sees. I've seen how God sees it. And before I step down in the valley of dry bones, I don't fret when I'm in the valley because I've been to the mountaintop and I can see everything there. I know every stronghold. I know every stumbling block. Why? Because I've been over it. I don't fret going in it. Because I've been over it, I don't fret going through it. God's put you over it. God has called us to walk in dominion. God has called us to operate in authority. God called, Luke chapter 9 verse 1, called his disciples and gave them power and authority. Power is the gun. Authority is the badge. Not only has God given you the weapons to accomplish what he's called you to accomplish, he has given you the authority. What the devil is banking on is that you're never going to figure out how to use the weapon and you're never going to figure out who you are in Christ. But I've got bad news for him. At Living Way, we know what weapon we have. The way you just praised and worshiped, you know exactly what kind of weapons you're working with. The way that you praise, the way that you read, the way that you respond, respond to the Word of God, you know exactly the kind of powerful weapon that you have. But what separates us from a lot of people is we know who we are in Christ, that I'm not the man I used to be. I'm not the person I used to be. God has changed my life. God has picked me up and turned me around. I don't do what I used to do. I don't go where I used to go. Why? Because God has put me over it. I know exactly what I'm called to do. I know exactly who I'm called to be. And so I'm not surprised by the valley, but I surprise the valley. Somebody say, bones live. Let's go a little further. Perspective is what God gives Ezekiel. Very many times when we look at this text, we just glance through some things, but in verse 2, it gives us two things that take a lot of people's faith out of the equation. Caused me to pass round about, and behold, there were very many bones in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. Let's talk about the very many first. Can I encourage you, don't let the quantity of the impossibility make you doubt. God drops Ezekiel in the valley of the dry bones and says, I want you to look. Now, he's had the helicopter view. He's in the valley, and there is bone after bone after bone. Not to give away the ending, but if you read the text, God is raising up an army out of these dry bones. Every man that he's getting ready to put back together has 206 bones. When you talk about thousands of soldiers times 206 bones, there is literally you can't walk in the valley without stepping on a bone. And then when God begins to look and tell him, you see what I see, God, I see what you see. I put you over it, now I'm going to put you in it. The reason I put you in it is because I trust the faith in you that you've got enough sense that when you're in the valley of dry bones that you're not going to lay down, you're not going to get depressed, you're not going to act crazy, but you're going to do what I placed you there to do. Some of us are saying, God, why am I? Look at where the devil has put me. Could it be the devil had nothing to do with the dry place you're in? Could it be that God has something on the inside of you? Could it be that God put you over first to put you in it, not under it? Could it be that God said, Brandon, the reason you're the only living thing there is not to kill you, but to bring life to everything. Woo! There were many bones. The quantity of the impossibility does not cause me to doubt. It just means that God's going to show up in a bigger way. Many bones. And then the King James text says, and lo, they were very dry. The first thing that will take you out when it comes to impossibilities is the quantity of the impossibility. The second thing is the quality of the impossibility. It's not bones that still have meat on them. It's not somebody who had died a couple days ago. We're talking about buzzards had picked the bones clean. We're talking about bleached bones. We're talking about for decades had laid in that valley. But God said, bones, you're going to come back to life. I've been waiting on an Ezekiel. And when I find an Ezekiel, I'm going to put Ezekiel in the worst spot. And I'm going to make Ezekiel speak to you. And Ezekiel is waiting on the army to come across the horizon. But God is calling Ezekiel to bring the army up out of the driest season of his life. Can I encourage somebody? In the driest season of your life, God has not forgot about you. God knows right where you are. And he's telling you, get ready, count the bones, speak to the bones, prophesy to the bones. It's on its way. If you like that, you're going to love this. God said, son of man, can these bones live? When God asks a question, you've heard me say this many times, God is not looking for information. God knows everything. God knows the answers before the questions are asked. When God asks questions, he's looking for one of two things, obedience, faith. It's not that God doesn't know, God wants to know, do you know? Is anything too hard for the Lord? That was asked in Genesis. Wasn't answered all the way until Jeremiah, 1,000 years later. When God asks you questions, it's not, he doesn't know. Do you know? Can these bones live? Well, I don't know. You're God. That's not what he's asking for. Can these bones live, Ezekiel? Well, I don't know. Are they supposed to live? Are they supposed to stay dead? I didn't ask that. Can these bones live? God is not asking you how to do it. God is not asking you if it can be done on your time. God is asking, when I step into the equation, can these bones live? Can the impossibility become possible? I've come to tell you today that God has been asking us a question. Can these bones live? And we've been making excuse after excuse after excuse. But the excuse dies today at Living Way. And the resounding answer is, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The worst thing you can do is answer a question with a question. When God asks us a question, many times we in turn refabricated and ask God a question because we're looking for the right answer. When God asks you a faith question, the answer is always yes. No multiple choice, yes. Yeah, you think I can cure cancer? Yes. Do you think I can get you out of foreclosure? Yes. Do you think I can get that crackhead son of yours that's been prodigal for 12 years back? Yes. Do you think I can revive this nation? Yes. Do you think they can get filled with the Holy Ghost? Yes. Verse 4. And again he said, prophesy unto these bones. Say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I don't know if we're going to get much past this, because when I was studying, and I don't have a great revelation, I don't have time, as my friends would say, to pontificate the text. But God showed me something that I think is going to help everybody in the room today. God said, speak to the bones. Can I tell you, the bones have ears. Your impossibility has ears. Your storm has ears. Your deficiency has ears. Cancer has ears. Bankruptcy has ears. Depression has ears. Suicide has ears. Despondency has ears. Prodigals have ears. God is not looking at you to make a way. God is looking at you to prophesy so that the ears of the bones can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Your mountain has ears. Why else would Jesus say, you can say to the mountain? Check this out. If that blessed you, this is really going to bless you. Your bones have ears, but they don't have a mouth. When I speak the authority and I prophesy to bones, those bones have to listen, but they can't talk back. They can't bring no negativity. They can't say that's not what God meant. They can't say none of that. They don't have a mouth. They only have ears. They've got two ears. They've got to listen to the word of God. They've got to listen to your prophecy. Somebody should get up and shout yes. Woo! Somebody, you've been listening and you've been psyching yourself out. Those words you're hearing, they're not from the enemy. That's something you've concocted. The enemy cannot talk back. It can only listen.
Can these bones live? Yes, 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 yes. Prophesy to the bones. Those bones, yes, those bones. Well, God, that's going to take 206 words to get those bones together. I need thousands of military warriors. God said it don't take 206 words. You just start prophesying. It's up to me to put it back together. You start prophesying. It's up to me to bring the bones that need to be there. I need somebody to just start prophesying over your situation. God's waiting. The bones are eagerly anticipating your voice. In closing, the Bible says, let me give you one more. The Bible says that when you prophesy to the bones, that the breath comes in the bones. Now hold on, Jesus. Breath goes into lungs. Breath doesn't go into bones. Breath is oxygen. What does oxygen need to carry itself through the bones and through the body? Your science lesson for today is, unless there is blood, oxygen cannot run. Unless there is blood, oxygen cannot work. I'm here to tell you, the word of God prophesied out of your mouth, the wind that is blowing from the east is the Holy Ghost, and the blood of Jesus Christ that covers and puts back together. It's all you need for your miracle, for your bones to live again. Speak. Speak. Prophesy. I need at least 3 or 4 dozen people that for the last 15 minutes you've been waiting on the edge of your seat saying, Pastor, you need to end this so I can come to the altar. I need you to join me at the altar right now. Get ready to speak. Get ready to move. Get ready to prophesy. The blood's flowing. The words are moving. The blood's flowing. The words are moving. I prophesy. The bone's here. In the name of Jesus. I speak to the bones. I speak to the bones. In the name of Jesus.